Okay. We wish Hatzlacha to Mr. Beans and Mr. Malin. Bezrat Hashem. I hope they're doing very well. Oh, and wish Hatzlacha to Mr. Ryan as well.
We hope
you're all listening. Okay. Here we go. Okay, here we go. So it says, B'nei Yisrael left Mitzrayim chamushim. This is Pasuk Yudches. Perek Yigyom. These are famous Rashi. It's Pasuk Yudches. It says they were armed. Okay, that's chamushim. So Rashi explained that. There's a famous Rashi. Chamushim from the language of a fifth. Only one fifth left. This Rashi fits with the other Rashi we had last week. That a lot of the Jews died during Machas Choshech. And why during Choshech? Hashem didn't want the Mitzvahs. Oh, the Jews are also dying. So Rashi here says that four-fifths died, which is incredible. Other Midrashim say only 1/50th left. So A, it's incredible how many Jews lacked the Amunah, and B, the number of Jews that were there. Now there's 2.5 million Jews left in Mitzrayim. But according to our Rashi, there were 12 million Jews there. This gets back to another topic. Having 6 kids at a time, you know, 50 kids each, 55 kids each. How do you go from 70 people to like 2.5 million, really 12 million, in 4 generations? It's impossible unless you have 50 kids at a time. So the numbers sort of prove that chazal. This is a famous Rashi, that 4/5 died. So it shows you can have a huge gilui shlina, all the makos, but still, it's, some people don't get woken up. 4/5 of the Jews didn't have amunah. Full Amunah. Incredible. Okay. Anyway, the Pasuk says, Pasuk Yates, that Moshe took the Atzmos Yosef. So Chazal say in Masechta Sota, a famous Maimer Chazal, that Bnei Yisrael were worried about taking, you know, the Biza, you know, the money from the Mitzrim, and Moshe is worried about Mitzvos, taking the Atzmos Yosef. So, you know, you have to have your priorities straight. There was nothing wrong with the Jews taking the money. That's what they were, you know, allowed to and supposed to do. But Moshe said, I've got to work on this mitzvah, Atzmos Yosef. So if you have a choice in life, what to focus on? Either a mitzvah or other things. So we should learn from Moshe to focus on the mitzvah. Because I'll make a big deal out of that. But Moshe was taking the Atzmos Yosef. Next, the end of the Perek Pasuk Kaf Beis. Perek Yudgim Pasuk Kaf Beis. The Pasuk says, "Lo yamish amud hanan yaman v'mud ha'ishchai lifnei ha'am." It never left. What does that mean? So Rashi says it was always there. Amud hanan mashlim amud ha'ish. Amud ha'ish mashlim amud hanan. Meaning, Bnei Yisrael were always being guided by Hashem. The Anan was there the whole day, and then the Ish came right before the Anan left. So there's an overlap. So 24/7, we were under Hashem's control. That's what praise means. Lo yamish. It never left. One went right into the other. So that the punchline, the message is 24/7 we had Hashem's direct hashgach. Let's continue. Perek Yudalid Pasuk Hey. So this is the famous Rashi where he tells us that Oz Yashir happened when? When did it happen? When did we have Shiras Hayam?
Absolutely.
On the Shvi'i Shel Pesach, on the seventh day of Pesach. And that's why we have the seventh day of Luchan Rashi. Rashi gives you the whole thing. We ran away for 3 days. Then they told Paro on the fourth day. Then Paro chased us down. V'leil Shvi'i Yardu Hayam V'radcho Achareim. V'shachris Amru Shira. V'yom Shvi'i Shel Pesach. This is Rashi in Pasuk Hei. V'chach Anukorin Hashira V'yom HaShvi'i. This is it. That the reason why we have the Yom Tov of the seventh day of Pesach is that's the day of Kriyas Yam Suf and Shiras Hayam. So this is the famous Rashi. That's the date. Okay, the seventh day of Pesach. There's a Rashi in the Parsha of Tzitzis that says, why are there 8 strings on the Tzitzis? What does Rashi say? Because of the 8 days from when we left Mitzrayim until Kriyas Yam Suf. I bet it was 7 days. That's a good question. So the answer is in a footnote in the March of Centuries from Mitzrayim to Mashiach. Anyway, it's a discussion. That's a good question. That's a good question. Rashi there says 8 days. We know it was 7 days. So the Mefarshim should talk about it, and that's a good question to discuss. You know, maybe we'll have a shir on it. But that this was last week's famous Rashi's, which we didn't get to do in shir. Why did we eat matzah when we left Mitzrayim? Why do we eat matzah? Oh. So Zach says, because we don't have time to rise.
It says in the pasuk beforehand also.
Wait.
Oh.
So Zach's right. Mashma Zach, that had we had more time, we would have eaten chametz. Right, Zach Berger. Okay, good. Okay. You get 2 points for that. Now, Mr. Strasberg, Noach says, but because that's what God told us to. It says earlier. God told us that chametz was aser. It was Pesach already. They left on Pesach. And you're right. So what's the pshat in the this is a famous kasha that all the Mefarshim discusses. I have an essay added in the book, but this is a famous kasha. The pasuk implies, had we had more time, we would have made chametz. But earlier, at Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we got the laws of Pesach, that chametz was asur. And the Haggadah says in Magid, made matzah because of their rush to sack. That's a good question. So part of the answer to that question gets to that Rashi in... Very good. I gotta get two. Noach Strasberg. Get two. Okay. Very good. Okay. Let's continue. Okay. Now, here we have a phrase that Paro's trying to convince his people to run after Bnei Yisrael. So Paro says, "I'm going to go first." Look in Yuperik Yadal at Pasuk Vav. Vayikach. He took them with him. Paro went first. Normally the kings go in the back. Right? The kings go in the back. They don't get killed. Paro led them. And that he went first when they chased Bnei Yisrael. And that's why it says the next Pasuk, the later Pasuk Yud, Perek Yudal, Pasuk Yud, Uparo Hikriv. He went close. He brought himself close. Meaning Paro jumped to the front. So Paro did what he promised. Okay, that's a famous idea. Chazal have another idea. He created this hitil. He caused. Paro caused others to get close, meaning us, Bnei Yisrael. When Paro attacked us and we were chased, what did we do when Paro attacked us? What did we do? We davened. We davened to Hashem. So there's a yesod and hashkafa. When a Jew has big tzaras, so then we turn to Hashem to daven. So Paro running after Bnei Yisrael brought us closer to Hashem. We're not supposed to need that. We should get close to Hashem without the tzaras. But sometimes one of the outgrowths of tzaras is you're forced to daven harder. So that's the other pshat of Paro Hikriv. Not that the simple pshat is he brought himself close. He went in the front. The other pshat is he caused us to get close by forcing us to daven to Hashem. Okay, that's a famous idea. Okay, then the Kriyas Yamsuf is happening, and it says now. But you have to know something. By Kriyas Yamsuf, there's a misconception out there. We didn't go across Yamsuf from one side to the other. Tosfos has a picture. It's in Erechin. And the Rambam has a picture. We went back to the same side, further along. As the Art School puts it, 12 concentric circles. We went like this. In other words, the whole thing was a fake out to get the Mitzvim to run after us, and then they all died. But we didn't go from one side of the Yamsuf to the other. All the names of the places work out that we came out on the same side further down. Not everyone knows that. 12 concentric circles. What?
We ever got across?
We didn't go. No. Then we walked around. We walked. Whatever we walked afterwards. But
so really, they didn't need to go through.
Correct. We didn't need Kriyas Yamsuf.
There's a way of killing off the
Mitzvah. Correct. Like they were closing some areas. They had to. They had nowhere to go.
No. They had nowhere to go because the Mitzvah were surrounding them, and then the Yamsuf was on the other side. So they went into the Yamsuf, but they came out over here. Whatever, the movie, one second, the movie doesn't have it that way. But I didn't see the movies about my friends that we discussed. So look here, this is a vort, this is in the book, this is my favorite book. Watch this. It says, Vayasaras ofen mar kavosav, took off the wheels of the chariot. So Rashi says that, not Rashi, some of the Mefarshim said the wheels came off, and the wheels came off. Why was that part of the miracle? So here's what Rav Mirsky Shlita quotes from other Sfarim. If you have 12 concentric circles, so let's say Reuven's on the inner circle, and let's say Ephraim's on the outer circle. So Reuven would take 2 hours to go across, and Binyamin would take 4 hours to go across, come around, because it's a wider circle. So once Reuven gets out after 2 hours, so the midstream inner circle would have gotten out too. Because we don't assume, this is the Pashup shot, we don't assume that Kriya Samsuf happened, that the water here was killing the midstream and here it was still, you know, was still okay. You with me? So if you have 12 circles and the midstream are tracing all 12 Shvatim, so the outer circle, there's another 2 hours, the midstream are in there. So how did it work? So that's the shot. Hashem took off the wheels that they got stuck. So the midstream circle got stuck, took them 4 hours to get out. So the midstream and the inner circle got stuck in the middle, they're struggling to get out, they're stuck in the mud, their wheels are falling off. So the water came back and killed all the midstream when the last outermost Jews got out after 4 hours, I'm making up a number, 4 hours, they were all killed. So that's how this is part of the miracle. That taking off the wheels becomes part of the miracle that the inner circle got stuck until the outer circle of the Jews got out. Is that clear? Hope that was clear.
So the water got all at the same time?
Correct, and they all killed at the same time. You could say that Hashem did a miracle in a miracle, and like the inner circle, you know, crushed the midstream, and the outer circle of the water was still good. You could say that too, but you know, that's an added miracle that we don't have in the Pesukim. Yeah.
Yeah. So when the angel saw the midstream dead on the shore,
right?
Just like further along the shore, like they could.
No. Hashem spit them out where the Jews came out. The Jews came in here and they came out over here. So Hashem, so they came out. Is that what? Yeah, it wasn't close. It was a big wide circle. Yeah.
If they came out on the same side and the Yamsa split, why wouldn't they just go through the Yamsa? Makes more sense, no?
Why didn't they what?
Why don't they just go straight through the Yamsa?
I assume they followed the water, and as I assume,
I'm trying to make it.
Okay, good question. I'm assuming the answer is to show the whole point of the miracle was to kill the midstream. In other words, it wasn't like they needed it. They didn't need the miracle. Maybe, right, and also they came out. Okay, that's a good question. You have to look, that's a good question. There's a sefer out there, a little sefer, I saw it once, that talks about Kriyas Yamsuf to explain this. He said, don't think they went across, they went in these concentric circles. I saw it, the Ram has a picture. I believe that I'll show it to you after. There's a picture in the Ram in Perish and Mishnayos of this concentric, that's the language of art school, 12 concentric semicircles.
So the guy from the Living Horror Museum in Bishop,
yeah,
claimed that he found one of the chariot wheels.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Could be. Okay. Could be. I don't know. Right. I don't know. I'm not. Yeah, Rav Shai would know these things. I don't know these things. I don't know. Anyway, guys. So that's the Vayaser Ofen Mar Kivosev. Next, Oz Yashir. Oz means then. Then sounds like. Then he's saying past tense, and Yashir is future tense. He will sing. That's a problem. So Rashi talks about it, the Mefarshim discuss it. So this is an important Rashi for me. Why is this Rashi important for me?
It's in the buffet.
No. Good guess, but no. This is our first phone call. When I called Mrs. Ginsburg for the first time, this is what we discussed on the phone. I was so nervous. What are you going to talk about? So I talked to her. It was good. So I asked her what she's teaching. So she was teaching 7th grade. She was teaching this Rashi. I was impressed. Oh, she was holding. She had Rashi and Sifsei Chachamim. So we discussed this Rashi. Oz Yashir. Then he will sing. That's a question. We're far should talk about it. That's our first phone call.
That doesn't have to be past tense.
What?
Then he will sing. He'll do this, then he'll sing.
Oz? No, normally then.
Oz means then is in the past.
No, normally Oz means then. He did something. Oz, then this happened. That's what the word Oz means. And normally that's what the word Oz means. Rashi says. Rashi says. Oz. No, so Rashi explains. So when he saw the nace, then Moshe began singing. So it's a future tense. Okay, you can explain it, but the simple reading, Oz, then Moshe will sing. That's not how you speak normal English. Then he will sing. So Rashi explained, anyway, that was our first fumble. Okay, I'm not sure how important that is for famous Rashis, but we'll see. Okay, here we go. Next, Pasuk Beis, Zekei Levi Anveyu. Famous Pasuk, right? That the Chazal used this. There are a lot of shakim in this pasuk. Okay. First of all, Zekeli. That means they could point. This is a famous Rashi, Pasuk Beis. Hayumarin oso be'etzba, ros ha'shiv chayam go mashgor ha'navim. B'nei Yisrael saw Hashem, whatever that means. Rav Shechter explains this to me, they had a vision. In other words, there was some light that they could point to. Oh, there is the Shekhinah. In other words, it wasn't that they, he interpreted this to me literally. When Hashem did Kriyas Yamsuf, there was some vision of the Shekhinah, some light, spiritual light. Oh, wow, there's the Shekhinah. That's Zekeli, they could point. Then Ve'anvehu, Ladach Shatim Ve'anvehu. So we say it means to beautify the mitzvos. This is a source for making mitzvos mahud, beautify the mitzvos. There's a world famous Unkelus here. What does Unkelus say? Ve'avni le mikdasha. I'll build the base hamikdash. Neve shanan means a building. So the Unkelus says, this is important, that there is a hint to building the base hamikdash in Kriyas Yamsuf. Meaning, the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was binyan base hamikdash. And that's a whole topic which Rav Meir Tversky Shlita explained really, really well in one of the YU Pesach Togos a couple of years ago, which I lifted and put in the Haggadah. That's a great essay. That the connection of Yetzias Mitzrayim with the Beis HaMikdash. Because the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get the Torah. And the purpose of the Torah was to bring it with us into Eretz Yisrael. And the ultimate purpose is to use the Torah to serve Hashem in the perfect way in Eretz Yisrael, which is the Beis HaMikdash. So really it's all one flow. And Rav Tversky says, this is why, this is deep, we have so many Zecher L'Mikdashes in the Haggadah. Over and over again. Why Zecher? So the simple pshat is, oh, we feel bad if there's no Karban Pesach. That's a simple pshat. The deeper pshat is the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, we're refocusing on the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim by subtly mourning its loss. That's his language. That's good language. And this is the famous Unkelus, that we mentioned the Beis HaMikdash in Shiras Hayam during Kriyas Yamsuf. Like you wouldn't have expected that necessarily. Okay. We'll do one more, then two more, then we'll just finish the Shira. Then we'll stop. Okay, Tubu'u. This is Pasuk Dalet. Tubu'u. They were sunk. So Rashi quotes, the Lashon of Tviya means to be stuck in the mud. Ein Tviya Ela B'Mokom Tit, when you're stuck in the mud. And he quotes the Psukim. So what's the idea? Mida keneged mida. Since they made us work with Chomer B'Levanim, with the mortar, so part of the punishment was to be stuck in the mud. This is the perfect mida keneged mida. Every bad thing they did to us, they were punished in the same way. So the part of being stuck in the mud of Kriyas Yamsuf was mida keneged mida of the Chomer B'Levanim. And finally, Rashi quotes here, again, the precision of Hashem's judgment is amazing and it's terrifying. That it's perfect mida keneged mida. Look in Rashi. This is a famous Rashi. The end of Pasuk Hey. Kimo Evan. To some of the Jews, some of the Mitzvim were killed like stone. Heavy stone. Another place says, Ka'oferis. What's Oferis? Like lead. Another place says, like kash, like straw. Well, what was it? Was it stone, lead, or straw? So what does Rashi say? It depends. The Rishayim were like straw. Straw is light. So it's thrown up and down in the water over and over again. So they were really punished. The worst mitzvim, they didn't die right away. They were tortured and thrown around in the water. Like, you know, if you put straw in water, it hangs out there for a while until it eventually, I don't know, but whatever, until it eventually sinks. It's going up and down, up and down. Then Evan is goat sinks, but it's not as heavy as lead. So the middle of the road mitzvim, they died at a moderate pace in the water. And the good mitzvim, who only punished us, who only oppressed us a little and not too much, they were killed like lead right to the bottom. They went down right away. So what do you see? The exact precision of Hashem's judgment. That even within the mitzvim, who were all evil, there were different levels. And that's the pshat of the kash, the evan, and the oferis. You got it? That's a world famous Rashi. Okay, we will stop here. Okay, let's continue. In the middle of the Shira, in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yud Beis, the Torah says, Tivla'emo Aretz, the earth would swallow them. Rashi says, Mikan Shezachu L'Kvura. the Egyptians were zocha in the end to a kvura. Why? Vishar shamru Hashem atzadik. At the end of Barad, Perek Tes, Pasuk Kav Zayin, Hashem HaTzadik V'niv Amir Rishaim. So apparently the Medrash says that the Mitzvim also said that. So what do you see here? Hashem gives you schar for everything. In other words, the Mitzvim were Rishaim, and they deserve the worst punishment, which they received. But because of the one good thing they did, they got a schar for whatever the good thing they did. This is a major yesod in Torah Hashkafa. Okay, next. Pasuk Yedalit. Chilochaz Yoshvei Peloshes. What does that refer to? This refers to the Plishtim. Shehargu es b'nei Ephraim shemiharu es haketz. V'yatsu b'chazka. As it says in Adiva Yami, v'hargum anshe gas. This Rashi here is referring, and he says the Pasuk is referring, to a relatively unknown mini war. Shevet Ephraim, part of Shevet Ephraim, left early. And when they left, they were attacked and killed, and many of them were killed by the Plishtim. This is a fascinating episode. How could they leave early? The Torah says 400 years. What, they didn't know the calendar? They didn't keep count of the years? Everyone knew 400 years. So Avnevin Sal Shlita explains in his Haggadah, and in his Haggadah, that Nevuahs always come true, but how the Nevuahs come true might depend on the way we act. Some Nevuahs have more than one potential outcome. So the 400 years could have been counted from different points. In the end, we know it was counted from the time that Yitzchak was born. But it could be that Shevet Ephraim thought the 400 years should be counted from a different point. So they knew about 400 years, but still made a mistake. It's a very good pshat in how it's possible that Shevet Ephraim could have left, quote-unquote, early. How could they leave early? They knew about the Nevuah. Okay. Let's continue. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, there's another reference to the Beis HaMikdash, Machon L'Shivtecha, a foundation for your dwelling place. Rashi says, Mikdash Shalmata Mechuvah Kenega Kisei Shomai L'Shir Po'alta, that you made. This is a reference that the Beis HaMikdash down here is somehow the base of the heavenly throne up in Shemayim. That the base, it's like aligned, mechuvan, it's aligned with the Beis HaMikdash up in Shemayim. So again, another reference to the Beis HaMikdash here already at the very beginning of Am Yisrael's leaving Mitzrayim at Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay. Pasuk Kafei, B'nei Yisrael come tomorrow, and the Torah says, Shom Sam Lecho K'mishvat V'Sham Niso. Hashem gave us some mitzvos in Mara. B'mara nasan lehem mixas parshiel shel Torah, sheis asku behem, Shabbos paraduma v'dinim. We got some mitzvos early. Now paraduma is interesting, because paraduma is not shayach without a mishkan and a Beis HaMikdash. It's impossible. So what was the point of getting paraduma? So Yaakov Kamenetsky explains, they didn't receive paraduma in order to perform the mitzvah. They received paraduma in order to train themselves for the proper approach to mitzvos in general. Paraduma is the classic cloak. And we learn from paraduma that we do mitzvos because Hashem commanded, even if we don't understand the reason for the mitzvah. We still must do the mitzvah anyway. And if Yaakov says, that's why it says, sheyis asku, to be involved in, mean to be involved in studying the mitzvah of paraduma. It could be Shabbos and Dinim they actually kept before Matan Torah, but not paraduma. There was no Mishkan. So the purpose of paraduma was to learn the message of paraduma, to learn the message of a chok, the idea of Nasa v'Nishma. We'll do the mitzvahs even if we don't understand them, like paraduma. And we have to approach all the mitzvahs like that. That we do the mitzvahs because Hashem commanded, even if we don't understand them. That's from the Emes L'Yakov. At the end of the Perek, the Torah says, Vaivo Elima, Visham Shemeshe Enos Mayim, there's plenty of water there. So the Chafetz Chaim on the Torah has an important idea here. B'nai Yisrael complained about the water. What does Hashem show them? Mamash, at the very next spot, there was plenty of water, even without the water in Marah. We should have relied on Hashem. The water was going to come. Hashem promised he's not going to leave us without food and water. So Hashem shows us, look, the very next stop, there was plenty of water. And there was no need to complain and no need to be upset, no need to be nervous. We should have had more emun and bitachon in Hashem. Oh, okay. Oh, there's a famous Rashi here. The man is called Mechuspas. Mechuspas means exposed. So Rashi says, Megula, this is in Perek Tezayin Pasuk Yudalad. Mechuspas means Megula, uncovered. And there's no other similar word in all of Tanakh, the Rashi says. Now, Rashi quotes, "Kishenizkale mishichvas hatal, ruishayadavar dak mechuspas besocho, bein shtei shichvos hatal." The man somehow came down in between the two layers of the dew. It's as if it was like in a container. So this Maimer Chazal that Rashi quotes is one of the sources for covering the challahs at the Shabbos table. There's something on the bottom, the challah plate, we put the cover on top. It's Zecher Laman. Since we have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, Zecher Laman, that a double portion fell on Friday. So we cover the challah at the table. There are different reasons given. One reason is this Rashi, based on this Rashi, that we want the challahs to sort of look like the man. And that's why we cover the challah at the table, so it's wrapped like the man is. The other reason given for covering the challahs, one of the other reasons is that the challah is embarrassed. Why? The bracha on challah is hamotzi. And normally hamotzi comes before hagafen. It's a more chashuv a bracha. But now we're making the bracha on the wine first, so the bread is embarrassed that the wine goes first. So therefore we cover the bread as if it's not there. It shouldn't be so embarrassed. Obviously, bread has no feelings. We're not worried about the bread. Of course, it's a mushel that we should be careful about not embarrassing people in general, and at the Shabbos table as well. So when you cover the challahs at the table, a good thing to think about is, I'll be careful from embarrassing my family in different ways at the Shabbos table. Okay. The end of the parasha has the story of Amalek. Oh. So there are many famous Rashis here. Okay, and Pasuk Tes at the end of the parasha. It says, Bechar Lanu, choose for us. Hishvalo, Moshe equated himself with Yoshua, as if they're the same, like in the same group, in the same word. Treat your student with a lot of covet as well. Moshe was showed exemplary midos here, giving extra special covet to his Talmud, Yehoshua. Oh, Pasuk Yud. It says, Moshe Aaron and Chur, Mikan Latinus, Setrichim Shlosh Alavro Lifnei Ateva. when you go daven on a tainus and a public fast day, one person's davening and two are standing with him when he goes down to daven. That's in the Shulchan Aruch based on Chazal. What's the connection? Shebetainus hayushruim. Chazal say they were fasting at Melchemes HaMalek. This was a minhag. When Bnei Yisrael fought Amalek, they fasted. They fasted when they fought Amalek also in the time of Shaul. And Chazal say they fasted also during Melchemes HaMalek in Megillas Esther. When Bnei Yisrael fought Amalek, they dafka would fast. There are reasons for it. It's a whole other discussion. Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Torah describes Kasher Yuri Moshe. When Moshe raised his hands, Bnei Yisrael were strong. And when his hands were down, Bnei Yisrael were weakened, and Amalek was stronger. Rashi quotes the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. What? Moshe's hands were winning the battle? When his hands were up, they win. The hands down, no. The Mishnah explains that when Bnei Yisrael raised, when his hands were up, so Bnei Yisrael focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they subjugated their heart to Hashem, and they would win. But when they didn't focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, symbolized by Moshe's hands being down, then they lost. Bnei Yisrael were fighting a war. And when you fight a war, you have to know the victory depends on the Siyata Deshmaya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what's happening here. They were fighting a war. It was a Nes Nister. All the Makaros say it was a Nes Nister, not a Nes Nigla. It was a Nes Nister. But a Nes Nister, you have to know, you'll win when you're focused on Hashem and you realize it's all coming from Hashem. That's the Pashup Shat of the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Oh, Moshe got tired. He sat down on a rock. Why a rock? Why not on a soft pillow? Rashi says, from the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Yud Aleph. Amar Moshe said, Yisrael Shuyim B'Tzar, Bnei Yisrael is in trouble, in a state of grief. Afani Eyeimon B'Tzar, I'll also be B'Tzar. Moshe was sharing in their pain. If Bnei Yisrael is having sorrows, you're not supposed to be so comfortable. He wanted to share the pain of Bnei Yisrael, who are fighting the war. So now is not the time to have to sit on a comfortable pillow. Sit on a hard rock. Okay, there's so much more in the parsha, but Baruch Hashem, we did a lot, and we'll stop here.